The Texas Football Today podcast is brought to you by Chocolate Milk and Built by Nature. Catch Texas Football Today live weekdays at noon on TexasFootball.com and Facebook. And get involved with the show using hashtag TFToday.
Yes, yes, y'all. From the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Mothership here in beautiful Lewisville, Texas, it is Texas Football Today, a show for the new millennium. My name is Greg Tupper. I am the managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, TexasFootball.com, a corresponding website. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Whether you're watching us live at TexasFootball.com or on Facebook, or you're listening to us on the podcast, which you can subscribe to on the podcast vendor of your choice. Either way, thank you for doing your part to celebrate the new year by supporting your local mediocre internet show. I'm sitting here, sitting over there, making us sound good today, celebrating his 54th birthday today. Happy birthday to Gweg. Gweg.
Gweg.
It's my own name.
Wow.
Off to a great start. Greg Swindell. Oh, that's the problem. Okay. There's a W.
You almost did it.
Greg Swindell.
You almost did it.
Now he's a I think he does baseball on Longhorn Network. I think he's like their
Sure.
I think he does Little League World Series too.
Why not?
That's right, former Houston Astros great.
Miziel says, I haven't heard from y'all since last year. He says he'll let himself out.
Kick him.
He says he'll let himself
kick him
out.
From the show.
Before we get going, I do want to give a special shout-out to our man Brent Holman, who is in surgery right now.
Oh, no.
It's all right. He's going to be okay. He's just got some – I guess like his pec tore off or like his something – like he has to have reconstructive surgery for like his shoulder and
chest.
Yeah,
that'll happen.
Guys, he works out too much.
Gun
this
show,
is,
man.
This is what's the line from Parks and Rec? Running, yeah, it gets you healthy, but at what cost?
Yeah, it keeps you healthy.
at what cost? Well, Brent Holman's finding out today. So shout out to our guy. Hopefully you get through it safe.
Absolutely. And sitting to my right, the exasperated interview to my mean Gene Okerlund, our West African prince, Ishmael Johnson. Were you sad by that too?
Yeah, man. Like mean Gene that's a voice of a generation, man.
That hit me in a way I did not expect.
Yeah.
Like I saw that and I was suddenly like very sad. Like,
yeah.
Oh!
Mean Gene Okerlund, man.
R.I.P. man. R.I.P. to the
one of a kind.
Jeff Perlman wrote a blog about him today. He said he's the greatest straight man in television history, and I got to tell you, I think he's right.
He played it. Every interview was really superb. Was. And yeah, rest in peace, Major.
R.I.P. Today is Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. 330 days until Thanksgiving. Episode 684. Lamar Johnson's OPS in his last year's Texas Rangers career, 105 games in 1982, the final 105 of his career, otherwise spent his career with the Chicago White Sox. On today's show, guys, we are going to discuss the new head coach in the state of Texas at the FBS level. We're going to talk about the Cougs' new head man, Dana Holgorsen, what it means, what we can expect, etc. And then back half of the show, we had a great interview with Aaron Ingram of USA Football. For those who don't know, there's a huge event coming to AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Yes, football season from a college and high school perspective is over. And yet, there is 8 big-time games coming to AT&T Stadium at the International Bowl. USA Football taking on some of the best and brightest teams from around the world. We talked with Aaron Ingram about that event, about USA Football, about how the trial process, et cetera. It was a really good conversation. We'll have that coming up here at the back half of the show. Let's start, though, Ishmael, with the new guy in town.
Yep.
The new old guy in town.
He's kind of back.
He's back. Yeah. Yes, he is back. So we sat here on Monday and we talked about how Major Applewhite, well, not you, you took the day off.
Right.
Oh. about Major Applewhite being fired at Houston and the curiousness around it. Mm-hmm. And just because, generally speaking, you get 3 years, I couldn't figure out what had changed in 2 years that would make it, you know. If you get fired after 2 years, I assume that you have either not won a game or you have a really ugly record or you've got a scandal.
Right.
And he had none of those. And so it made it very curious as to why he was being fired. Mm-hmm. Well, now we I think we can piece it together. And that is what happened on yesterday, on Tuesday, on January 1st. Houston, this is, I believe is not official yet.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced it.
But there is, like, everyone in the world is reporting that Dana Holgorsen, the West Virginia head coach, will move from West Virginia to Houston to take over the Cougars. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I want to start with this. If you're looking at this and you're saying, why would he leave a Power 5 job to come to a Group of 5 job? Mm-hmm. I think you're kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
First of all, he's getting paid.
That's the biggest one. He got the contract he wanted.
Yeah.
What is it? 5 years, 20?
5 years, 20 million. He's getting paid $4 million a year.
Yeah. West Virginia wasn't going to commit to him for 5 years.
No, they
and
weren't.
They weren't going to give him that much for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, it was, they were, from every indication, it was they were very much doing small little chunk contracts. Mm-hmm. You know, like 2 year, 3 year. They weren't going the full five.
I mean, here's the thing. Right now, he is going to make, if he's making $4 million a year, that's what's mm-hmm. been reported. We don't, again, this is not, none of this is done. He is going to make more money than Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
He is going to make more money than, he's going to make as much money as Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, money talks. Money talks. And right now, he's going to be making buku bucks down there in Houston. He's also got, from what we understand, a pretty tight relationship with the Houston money man, Tillman
Fertitta.
Fertitta, mm-hmm. Thank you. Yep. I've written it 100 times and said it like twice.
Sorry.
Fertitta. And this is apparently a pretty personal thing for Tillman Fertitta to bring him here.
Mm.
And that if he were not there, if it were Joe Schmo money guy, this probably wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big thing for Tillman Fertitta to bring him there. So beyond that, Dana Holgorsen is a guy who has a good history in this state. He's been around this state a long time. He was a receivers coach at Texas Tech.
He's been at Houston.
He was at Houston. He was the offensive coordinator for Houston under someone? 08, I want to say.
Was it Bryles?
Might have been Bryles. 08, 09.
Yeah.
I don't have that in front of me. He was the OC for Tech. He was the OC for Houston. And then he was the OC for Oklahoma State. So he is used to...
Someone,
thank you. He is used to recruiting in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The reports are, and again, none of this is confirmed, but the reports are that he really wanted to come back to Texas, that he likes being in Texas. So beyond that, like, I don't think to say that, like, he's moving from a Power 5 job to a Group of 5 job.
It's Houston, UCF, to a certain extent, Boise State.
Yeah.
Very different. They're not Group of Five. They're fringe.
They're on that. They're in that kind of middle ground.
In the next wave of realignment, those are the schools that are going to get picked
right.
up.
Because right. they are
maybe
the,
not Boise, but UCF, USF, mm-hmm. Houston, Cincinnati, I believe, yes. is in there as well. Those jobs are the threshold jobs.
Correct. Those are not to say that they are a Group of Five job
right.
is like comparing it to Miami of Ohio.
Right.
And this is not Miami of Ohio.
No.
Houston is not Miami of
Houston
Ohio.
Houston has money.
Yes. Beyond that, and again, this is all kind of reports, but like Houston still wants to get into a major conference.
Sure.
They want
to be in the Big 12.
They want to be in the Big 12 or whatever iteration of the Big 12 exists in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they feel like there needs to be that buzz around the program.
Yep.
Joseph Duarte, our friend down there at the Houston Chronicle, was basically reporting at that when they were at the Armed Forces Bowl that there was essentially no buzz around the Houston program, which is the first time we've been able to say that. At least since the Tony Levine era.
Yeah, I was about to say Levine, yeah.
Since the Tony Levine era. So now, this all makes a little bit, I would say not a little bit, a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty clear to me, reading the tea leaves, that they had pretty much a verbal agreement with him.
Right.
And that all they need to do is clean out the office.
Or somebody was in the air saying, hey, he wants to come back. He wants to come back to Texas right now. And
he did.
Yeah.
So Dana Holgorsen is going to be the new head coach of Houston. And Dana Holgorsen, for those who don't know, is a lot more in the vein of Art Briles and Kevin Sumlin than mm-hmm. he would be Major Applewhite.
Right.
This is an offensive guru. In the same way that we were talking about Texas State's new coach,
mm-hmm.
this is that same thing.
Yeah.
It's an offensive guy who's going to come in who has an identity and who wants to spread it out and wants to have a high-flying offense.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that will play in Texas because a lot of the high schools around here and a lot of the guys he's going to be recruiting, mm-hmm. especially down there in the Houston area, are going to be familiar with that type of scheme.
Yep.
He was, by the way, the He was the offensive coordinator whenever they were for that Texas Tech, Graham Harrell, Michael Crabtree.
Mm-hmm. You look at his coaching, where he's come from. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Sumlin, you look at under Leach, you look at under Gundy, right? He's learned from all these modern, the guys that are kind of now the standards of spread air raid offense. He's learned from every single one of them. And you can make the argument that over the last 10 years, or yeah, about the last decade, he's probably been, I'd say, a top 10 offensive mind easily, just looking at his pedigree and what he's done.
Absolutely. The offensive mind part of it is not up for debate. Mm-hmm. If you look at what he's done as a head coach, it's mostly good.
Yeah.
Mostly good. He's had two 10-win seasons there at West Virginia.
Hard to win.
Hard to win at West Virginia. He shepherded them through the Big 12, transition. Now, look. He's 33-30 in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. The AAC is not the Big 12. The AAC is especially the division that Houston plays in, the AAC West. There, it's going to be more manageable. You're not going to see Oklahoma every year. Mm-hmm. That's pretty nice. But his head coaching record is good, not great.
Right.
That's where he's at. And so I think that this is a lot of sour grapes, but I think that there's a lot of West Virginia people who are saying, oh, good riddance.
Sure, right.
We're ready to get rid of him. Well, first of all, everybody says that.
Right.
Whenever your coach leaves. Everyone says, we didn't want him anyway. Okay. But if you do want to look at him objectively, you would say, okay, he's been pretty good as a head coach. Not amazing. Not like, but at the same time.
Like, you probably say Rich Rod had them better when he was at West Virginia.
That was also in the Big East, though.
Right, true.
You know, that's exactly. Big East, not the Big 12.
Yeah.
As a result, you're going to get a guy who is going to have a high-flying offense. You're going to get a guy who has recruiting ties to the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And a guy who's going to be come in, and let's be honest, he's going to have high expectations.
Yep.
These are not going to be Jimbo Fisher expectations where it's national title or bust.
Right.
But it's not far from that.
Yeah.
I mean, for this position, it's pretty clear that the University of Houston is saying we are going to be one of the two or three best group of five teams in the nation, so that then we make it an obvious choice whenever the next round of conference realignment comes in that somebody has to grab us.
They see what UCF is doing and say, why isn't that us?
Yes,
they see UCF as the talk of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, they go from Scott Frost to Josh Heupel to keep the train going. They look at that and say, "Why wasn't that us? That should have been. That was them when under Tom Herman." They don't know why that didn't continue, and they see no reason that can't continue. Because right now, let's look at it. You know, we can get to a bigger discussion later or some other time. But when the Big 12 looks at realignment, yes, the geographically logical one is Houston, right? Mm-hmm. The addition. But if I'm the Big 12, why would you choose Houston over UCF-USF right now? Get both of those. Get Florida. Expand your footprint. Get the better program right now in UCF. And so Houston sees that and they're like, we got to make our move. Yeah, we got to get better.
And this is them making their move.
Yep.
And look, we've said a lot on this show that Houston's a great job. Mm-hmm. They've got it's a recruiting, you know, what's the place in the Middle East between the two. The two rivers that was like the cradle of civilization. It's like that.
Babylon?
Yeah, it's like it's in a recruiting Babylon. That works. It's in a recruiting Babylon.
It's a biblical deep cut right
Thank
there.
You. It's in a recruiting Babylon. It is already the facilities are great and getting better.
Yeah.
You now have, in my opinion, and I know that things didn't end particularly well with Ed Oliver, but you have the card that nobody has, which is if you're a five star, you want to come here, you'll be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft still.
Yep.
You can dominate. They've got that. It's a great job. Now, I'll say this. The last two guys who got fired at Houston, Major Applewhite and Tony Levine, both got fired after 8-5 seasons.
Yep.
Dana Holgorsen. 8-5 ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
Okay? We're talking 9 wins minimum every year or people are going to grouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this money means. That's what this means. That when Jimbo Fisher signed that 10-year, $75 million guaranteed contract at A&M, we understood and everyone understood he is there to win a national championship. The expectations are not that high, but if you're scuffling along at 8-5, that seat's getting hot quick.
Yeah. And I know different circumstances, Big 12 versus AAC. Mm-hmm. He only won more than 8 twice, and he only had 8 wins total 4 years at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, again, apples, oranges, but UCF is still there. Mm-hmm. USF is still there. Cincinnati is still there. It isn't going to be a cakewalk.
No.
And like you said, he has to do something that he's only done 4 times in his head coaching career.
And you gotta go out there and you gotta win a conference.
Yep.
I mean, you gotta be winning a conference consistently, yep. And you gotta get to that level, and you gotta get there quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the Houston brass has said is that we are making our move, and if we find out that you're not the guy to make our move with,
mm-hmm.
you're done.
Out.
You're out. So. It's an interesting situation there at Houston. It's going to be they're going to be one of the most fascinating teams to watch in the state over the next couple of years.
For sure.
Because there's big – look, this is – I mean, make no mistake, this is a coup for Houston.
Yeah.
To go and grab
really
they needed a big splashy hire. This is a big splashy hire. I think Todd Orlando would be a great coach,
mm-hmm.
but if Todd Orlando had gotten hired at Houston – okay.
Fine. Yeah.
It would have been okay.
Yeah.
But like
in retrospect, you probably would have been like, oh, okay, they probably should have hired him over Applewhite. But like, you're not like, oh, wow.
Texas A&M hired Jimbo Fisher, not only because he's a great coach, because it got people talking about Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing.
Yep.
Not only is he a good coach, but he is a guy who's going to get people talking about Houston.
In the same vein. Why would Jimbo go to A&M? It's a step down. Why would Dana Holgorsen go to Houston? It's a step down.
There's a lot of those parallels between these two things. So Dana Holgorsen is the new head coach at the University of Houston, allegedly.
Reportedly.
It's probably been – I'm not on Twitter. I'm sure it's been announced like now because, of course, that is.
Don't think so, but
it's going to be an exciting
all
time
indications.
In the third ward. We are Texas Football Today. We're here every weekday at noon on TexasFootball.com, talking football in the Lone Star State. You can follow us on Twitter at DCTF, like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/Dave Campbell's. Follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com/Dave Campbell's, and, of course, see us at TexasFootball.com. TexasFootball.com is where you can become a Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider. I'll just comment and say, a price increase is coming. Save yourself some money and become a Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider today if you haven't already. 2 magazines, a recruiting edition, the summer edition, mailed directly to you. You also get a year's worth of exclusive online content at TexasFootball.com. A price increase is coming. Do I have to spell it out for you? Go online, TexasFootball.com/insider, to become an insider today. And if you were late for a New Year's gift. People do New Year's gifts?
Sure. I didn't get you one, but people do it.
Say,
sounds good.
It's new to me.
Earlier today, we had an opportunity to talk about an exciting event coming to the state of Texas. This is Texas Football Today, and today we got to talk about football coming to Texas. It's the International Bowl put on by USA Football, coming to AT&T Stadium later this month. We had an opportunity to sit down with one of the big hitters of USA mm-hmm. Football, Aaron Ingram. We talked with him about the upcoming event. Here's our conversation with Aaron Ingram of USA Football here on Texas Football Today. This is the state of Texas, and here in Texas, we cannot get enough football. It's an illness that we have. We just need more and more of it. And the good news is that there's plenty more football coming to Texas, specifically AT&T Stadium. The International Bowl will be heading to AT&T Stadium. And here to talk about it is Aaron Ingram, Senior Manager of Football, player and coach personnel for USA Football. Mr. Ingram, appreciate your time.
No, thanks for having me anytime.
So first and foremost, let's kind of zoom out and let's talk a little bit about USA Football. Folks may not necessarily realize that the United States has a national football team. You kind of take us through a little bit of what exactly USA Football is?
Well, we are the national governing body of the sport. We're recognized by the IOC and the USOC as that. So that carries a little bit of weight when you talk about Olympic futures with sports and so forth like that, but we oversee football in the United States.
It's very exciting, and I know that, you know, obviously there's the national team, of the older players, but then what the International Bowl is going to feature is some of the best and brightest young stars of football across the state of Tech, or across the nation, rather. Tell me a little bit about the International Bowl. How long has it been around, and what can folks expect to see?
Yeah, International Bowl. This year's our 10th year, so it shows some great staying power and some great growth. It's the world's largest football competition. This year we'll have 6 different countries come to compete versus 8 different U.S. teams. We have 2 teams per age group from U16 all the way up to U19. ourselves in Canada, Japan, Panama, Mexico. Come, those are some of the popular names that everybody knows to come compete every year. 2 week long event that we'll have in Arlington, Texas.
And it's you mentioned that there's a number of different countries that are coming to play, but the steadying influence will be USA football. There's going to be an American team in each of these eight games. It's going down January 11th. That's a Thursday, and then January 18th, that's a Friday, at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. I'm interested. I know this has been at AT&T Stadium for a while. Why is that such a good home? Why is the state of Texas in general such a good home for you guys for this event?
Well, you know, anytime you can come to Texas, you say Texas football, and then if you add the word barbecue a lot of times, it's a great thing, right? But Texas and football go hand in hand. There's no better place to go. It's bigger, it's better, it's badder, you know, if you want to say, for lack of better words, in Texas. But it's such a draw. You know, that's what some of the international teams look for. They look to come, and they want to come, and they want to play the U.S. in the stage, in the biggest stage. And, you know, and there's no better place than Jerry's World to do that.
We're talking with Aaron Ingram of USA Football here on Texas Football Today. Get involved with the conversation, hashtag TF Today. So I'm sure people are who may be hearing this for the first time about USA Football are thinking, well, how in the heck do I make it onto a national team? I know that there is a lengthy process, and it's a commitment to make it onto these national teams. So can you kind of give me an overview of how these teams kind of got formed?
Yeah, definitely. We start every spring, and we do a U.S. tour. Last year, we had 24 stops. This year, we kind of narrowed it down to 18 cities, and we'll start that mid-March, and we go through a two-day t-shirt and shorts process where they get 13 hours of practice in 2 days, which is great. That's a non-contact college level coaching with current college coaches, as well as some of the top high school coaches in the country, coming to coach for us to help evaluate and select these teams. And then from there, they're in our selection pool. We also do some stuff during the summer for middle school, where we don't feel they're ready for international play just yet at sixth grade, mm-hmm. seventh grade, eighth grade, but we kind of start to develop that next pool, like you said, that next great crop of stars for us. So we do that. We actually come back to Texas in the summer, and we'll go to the Star in Frisco and have our middle school bowl series there, as well as in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I think folks are going to look at these games and say, okay, well, it's the United States versus a team from Mexico, or United States versus a team from Panama, and they're going to say, U.S. is going to go and roll the ball out on the field and get a win. But I know I was at the International Bowl a couple of years ago, and I feel like, and I'm interested in if you agree, I feel like people may not recognize the quality of competition that's coming from internationally to AT&T Stadium to challenge these American boys.
That's very true. No one really understands it until you have to go live it. You know, a lot of coaches have come and done the exact same thing. They show up and they think they're going to just roll the ball out. We're going to show them the USA on our chest, and they're going to lie down. And that's not the case. You know, on the U18 level for our national team, we're 1-6 is our overall record right now versus Canada. Canada does an outstanding job at the U18 level of developing kids that have gone on to the CFL and into the NFL. So they have a great history there. Last year, Mexico came with, for the first time ever, with two teams and won one of those teams. Japan won last year. So there's some huge improvement going on. We're looking back. We've kind of retooled a lot of things that we've done this year to come back and to make sure we come out with some wins this year.
Aaron Ingram of USA Football talking with us here on Texas Football Today. Okay, but, you know, people are going to look at, if you head to internationalbowl.com, you can see all the information about the event, and you can see all the information about the rosters, and I think people are going to notice, you know, especially here in the state of Texas, I think inevitably they're going to go to the roster, they're going to do Command F, and they're going to search TX, looking for some Texas boys, and there is there's a fair amount of Texas flavor in this on these rosters.
There's a huge amount of it, actually. Well, our Dallas stop every year for our regionals, when we first stop to start our selection pool, is always one of the most popular stops for us. And it's actually one of my favorites. I love to come to Dallas every year for our selection process.
So then for these guys who have made the national team, and they've been working hard on this team for a long time, obviously they're working hard for their high school team as well. This is something they're doing on the side. Is this like the big reward for them? Is this like kind of the Super Bowl for these national teams to get this opportunity to play on this stage?
It is. It really is. I don't care how old you are, but then all of a sudden you get to represent your country. And like I said, walking into Jerry's World, that's my favorite thing to do on game day. Right before all the teams get there, I try to get there early in the morning, and I'm like a little kid still walking the field when I get to put on our game day outfit too as well. You know, it's a huge honor.
Speaking of which, you know, tell me a little bit about the coaching staffs. I mean, obviously there's, you know, we pride ourselves here on having coaches, good coaches here in the state of Texas, but there are a lot of great coaches around the nation, and it seems like you guys have assembled a really, really talented crop of coaches who are going to have these guys ready for game time.
Correct. This year we have some great guys, a couple state champs from various states, to kind of help represent a couple current college guys as well to come and spend some time with our guys for a week.
And I think one thing that's kind of worth mentioning here is, you know, I think inevitably people think of these national teams and their first instinct may be, oh, well, I could go see some top prospects. I can go see some guys who are going to go play, you know, big-time college football at the next level. And there are a handful of those guys. But at the same time, that's not necessarily the mission of USA football. You guys aren't necessarily seeking out, you know, the five-star prospect. You're not going to pass them up. But at the same time, it seems like you look across these rosters and it's just darn good football players. In a lot of cases, in my experience, when I was at the International Bowl a couple of years ago, it seemed like a lot of these guys are the diamonds in the rough who maybe are getting a little bit overlooked right now.
You know, we're pretty proud of that. Mm-hmm. We're proud about being able to develop kids as well. You know, our U18 team is one of our favorite teams at least this year. This group of kids has been with us since I've came on board and is coming through the pipeline, and we've developed them. And, you know, 43 out of 50 of them have Power 5 offers now. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really proud of that team, the way that team's developed since they were in eighth grade all the way up through it. We try to continue in that same mission with every group of kids we have. So I think even on our U17 teams and our U16 teams, you're going to see some names in a couple of years that have been with us that have gone through the pike and have been developed really, really well and then have gone on to some great high school and college careers.
You guys, you mentioned a little bit of the putting on the jersey and putting on the, you know, the USA outfit, you know, the uniform. Do you get the feeling in talking to the players that means something? Obviously, you want to suit up for your high school, and obviously, you know, all of those things. But do you get the feeling that these guys, when they put on that uniform that says USA, that they understand kind of what they're representing there?
I think it takes a day or two for it always. I always tell them when we have check-in and we go through our orientation that they don't know the magnitude of what they're doing until it's over. And that happens always. As soon as the event's always over, my phone goes crazy with the emails and the calls and the thank yous, and you get parents who understand it because, you know, we're older, but then all of a sudden the child understands it. The kid gets it. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, where some of them get it sooner than later, usually by Wednesday of the week, of our week starting on Monday and Wednesday, they realize what they're doing and the magnitude of it.
It's the International Bowl. It's going on at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Thursday, January 11th, and then Friday, January 18th. You can see teams from Mexico, teams from Panama, teams from Canada, teams from all over the world, coming in and taking on the best and brightest of from Team USA. And so, if folks want to come out to the game, or maybe they're watching us from far away, they can't. I understand these games are going to be you can watch these games, right?
Correct. ESPN3 mm-hmm. will stream all of our games, as well as, if not, if they're local and live, you can go to internationalbowl.com. $25 a day gets you all four games.
That's a pretty good deal. And I know from my personal experience, when I was there a couple of years ago, I was really, really impressed not only with, you know, the event and the ability to go in there and sit there and kind of nerd out on football for 4 days or for four games, but also I think people are going to realize they're going to go in and not to keep beating a dead horse, but, you know, they're going to go in and realize that this is the quality of play that you're going to see on the field is really, really impressive.
Yes, it is. We tell everybody we're the best-kept secret in the country.
It really is. It's the International Bowl. It's going on at AT&T Stadium January 11th and January 18th. Internationalbowl.com for all the information. Aaron Ingram of USA Football joining us. Aaron, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of time and explaining this to our viewers. And best of luck when you get to Arlington.
Great. Thanks so much. We're excited to come back. I'm polishing up my boots as we speak.
There he is, Aaron Ingram, USA Football, talking International Bowl. I called that for ESPN3 a couple years ago.
You did. They haven't asked you back, weirdly.
Damn.
I wish I had a counterpoint. I've just been...
It's because you're so busy. You're so busy with other projects.
If you have some burn ointment, please. please send it to the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Offices, which, by the way, I should point out, now have our sign outside on the building.
That's true. It
if
looks
you,
good.
If
yeah.
you drive
yeah.
by, just drive around Louisville.
You'll see it.
And you'll see it eventually.
Yeah.
I think the address is also in the magazine. No, it's not.
It's not.
Is it the wrong one?
Had we moved yet?
I don't think we had.
Listening to live coverage of me looking at an 8-month.
Unless we had the foresight to.
It's in the phone.
Yeah, we
man.
Do. It it's is. In it's in the right. Okay. So if you have there a you magazine, go. You can come visit
Look
us.
Look at that foresight.
Please, please do not come visit us without telling us.
Yes. Max gets very nervous. So we appreciate Aaron Ingram talking with us. International Bowl will be a lot of fun at AT&T Stadium. Now we go to Max Thompson for America's second favorite segment. Final thoughts. Slim pickings today.
You'll never believe this, but most people aren't watching the show. But our normal crowd is here.
People, their New Year's resolution is to quit watching this trash.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of love for the early kill shot from Agnew, which I appreciate. Everyone just checking in. Ed McElroy, Rob Hathaway, Meziel, obviously around. The buzziest thing that everyone's talking about is Bevo. Nearly killing Uga.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it to have
Bad
two
idea.
Live animals Let's, try to meet?
Yeah.
Like
bad
especially
idea.
One that's
bad
a bull.
Idea. Yeah, bad idea.
It was yeah. I don't.
First
understand.
Of all, credit Danny Davis. That was an awesome video. That he
did you see? By the way, it's got like 6 million views.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's like this is my Pulitzer moment. Just being in the right place at the right time with my video camera.
He's going to the Hall of Fame for that.
Yeah. I like the Texas handler being like he's just trying to say hi.
It's like yo, he's gonna kill that thing.
Yeah. Okay, so I have stood next to Bevo before, which is a weird brag. but I've stood next to him and they have him pretty sedate, you know, for the most part. He's pretty chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not
mess with
no.
him. No.
That's
it's two live animals it's right next
idea.
To each other.
I know. It's and by the way, I wouldn't idea. Mess with Uga either.
Yeah.
Uga seems like he's got an edge.
Didn't Uga jumped? Didn't he jump at a
yeah?
Player
and he bit an
Auburn ago?
Player.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was
a couple
it.
Years ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Of course, Bevo almost killed Jordan
now,
Shipley.
Yeah,
now, I am entirely in favor of live animal mascots for any team.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh yeah,
sure.
I think Mike the Tiger's great.
Yeah.
By the way, don't they play next year?
Who?
Isn't there a future
Texas
schedule? With, isn't there a future schedule?
What if we don't have a football game and instead we just let those two go at it?
Let's not
turn into gladiatorial stuff.
And poorly.
Yes. Anyway, anything else?
I don't know. Hi, everyone. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're off for the next
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, we're not around.
By the way, yes, LSU at Texas next year on September 7th. So.
There you go. We are off the next 2 days. I have a wedding in Utah.
Utah.
I, as I was saying in the office earlier, I'm continuing my winter tour of the whitest places in America.
Yeah, you went to
Maine, Boston, and Salt Lake City. hard to beat that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the – I don't know what the – what.
One of the Dakotas is next,
one
right?
of the Dakotas. Yeah. Maybe Minneapolis.
San Francisco.
Boise.
Boise, yeah.
Oh, dude, no, Minneapolis as somebody who – Milwaukee.
But you know what?
Milwaukee, that's a good one.
Minneapolis has like a huge Somali population.
That's true.
It's got to be Milwaukee.
That's where they got like most of the actors for Captain Phillips.
That's right.
Actors from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
I learned something.
Fun fact.
There's your fun fact.
There's
of the
your
day.
Fun fact of the day.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Follow us on Twitter at DCTF. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Dave Campbell's. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/Dave Campbell's. And of course, see us at texasfootball.com. For Max Thompson and Ishmael Johnson, I'm Greg Tepper. Vince Young, please can get your Player of the Year trophy. We'll be back Monday on Texas Football Today.